Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 7, The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, Text 33. Patnya Uchu Jaggoyam Tava Jajanaya Kena Srishto Vidhasta Pashupati Nadda Daksha Kopa Tang nastang shavashayanabhu shanta megham Jagyat mannalina rucha drisha punihi. Patnya uchu, the wives of the executors of the sacrifice said, Jagyaha, the sacrifice, ayam, this, tava, your, jajanaya, worshipping, kena, by Brahma, shrishta, arranged, vidhasta, devastated, pashupatina, by Lord Shiva, adya, Daksha, today, Daksha Kopat, from anger at Daksha, Tam, it, Na, our, Tvam, you, Shavashayanaya, the dead bodies, Abha, like, Shantamedham, the still sacrificial animals, the still sacrificial animals, Jagga Atman, O Lord of Sacrifice, Nalina, Lotus, Rucha, beautiful, Drisha, by the vision of your eyes, Unihi, sanctify. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparation of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may be again invoked. Please repeat. The wives of the performers of the yajna said, My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may be again invoked. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give them renewed life. And that was the purpose of having animals there. Offering an animal in sacrifice and offering an animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life was the evidence of the strength of chanting mantra. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the head of Daksha. Their bodies were lying about, and the sacrificial arena was turned into crematorium. Thus the real purpose of Yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of such sacrificial ceremonies, was requested by the wives of the priests to glance over the Yajna arena with his causeless mercy, so that the routine work of the Yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to prove the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantra. They should not have been killed as they were by Lord Shiva to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. Patneo uchu jaggoyam tabo jajanayakena shrishta biddhasta pashupatinadda dakshapopat tam nastam shabshayanabhashantamedham dakshatmannalina rucha drishapunihi. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, "My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma, but unfortunately Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene, and because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of this sacrificial arena may again be invoked." When Vasudev decided to present Mahabharata, he made it clear that it is actually meant for advancement of human civilization, to remind the human beings their glorious past, their glorious heritage. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the final presentation of Vasudeva. His final presentation was Vedanta Sutra, Uttar Mimamsa, or the final conclusion, which was the Vedanta, the end of the Vedas, the end of the Vedic understanding. And Srimad Bhagavatam was the natural commentary or expansion of Vedanta Sutra. Sutras are symbolic presentation or concise presentation of some relevant truth. That when the truth is presented in a concise way, that is called sutra. So layman cannot understand the sutras. Therefore, the sutras have to be elaborated by bhashya or elaborate explanation. So the natural commentary or the bhashya on Vedanta Sutra given by Vasudeva was Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is actually meant for our own spiritual advancement. Here also Vasudeva is making the point that the material knowledge or knowledge of this material nature is not the actual knowledge. The real knowledge is the spiritual knowledge. The reality that we are perceiving through our senses is a relative reality. It's not the absolute reality. And since it is relative, it is variable. But the spiritual reality is absolute. So, he just, that's why we have, at the beginning, it has been pointed out of Vedanta Sutra, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Many things have been discussed about material nature, but that is not important. Now, let's come to Brahma Jigyasa or spiritual platform. The inquiries about the spiritual reality. The inquiry that begins with our own spiritual identity. So we have to understand that this presentation by Vasudev is very relevant, is very systematically presented for our own spiritual advancement, for our own ultimate benefit. These are not just some stories. Apparently it may appear to be like stories, but actually they are histories. History. What happened, the important happenings of the past has been recorded. And that is what history is. History is not fiction. History is actual happening that are meant to be recorded for our own benefit, for the benefit of not only the entire human civilization, for the benefit of the entire creation. These books are not meant only for the human beings. They are meant for even advanced personalities like the demigods and the sages who reside in the higher planetary systems. All these have been very systematically presented in our scriptures. Purana, especially Bhagavad Purana, have dealt with various aspects, starting from creation, sarga, creation. The way when Vishnu created, initially when the creation started, the preliminary creation was made by Vishnu, sarga. And then visarga, Brahma, the creation that has been the secondary creation, sub-creation by Lord Brahma and his assistants, Prajapatis. That is the secondary creation. Or visarga. Then sthanam, the planetary system. Everything has been very systematically, very scientifically presented in our scriptures. Those who do not study these scriptures under the proper guidance, they only think that these are fictions. These are myths. Even in India, people say these are mythology. Mythology, they're myths, they're stories, they're fictions. No. They're not only the truth, they're dealing with the absolute truth. And we see, when you probe into it under the guidance of a qualified teacher like Srila Prabhupada, then we get to see that how scientific this is. And that's why Prabhupada always wanted us to study these scriptures in a very systematic way, and we should question. We should not accept them just like that, because they have been presented, we accept. No. Question. Become convinced that this is a science, this is not some fiction. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Tattva Vijnanam. Like, it's important to understand this point here. Material knowledge, according to the Vedic understanding, is agyan, not gyan, not even knowledge. It's ignorance. As long as we are dwelling in this material nature and with our objects of this material nature that deals with the knowledge that deals with this relative reality, it's not gyan, it's not agyan. The spiritual knowledge is gyan. And when that spiritual knowledge is realized, then it is vigyan. And it has been so systematically presented. Like Mahabharata has been presented as a story, not so much dealing with the science as such. But Srimad Bhagavatam is very systematically, scientifically explaining everything. Sthanam, the planetary system. Not only one universe, there are many, many universes, innumerable universes. And all these universes maintain one's general structure. The general structure is 14 planetary systems. Every universe has 14 planetary systems. And these are the sthanam, these planetary systems are the place of residence for different types of living entities. Urdhaṁ gacchanti sattastha, madhye tishtati rājasa, jaganna gunabhrittiśca, adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they reside in the higher region of this planetary system. But madhye tishtati rājasa, those who are in the mode of passion, they are in the middle. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they are residing in the lower planetary system. So there are three modes of material nature, and accordingly, according to the influence of the modes, they develop different propensities, different attitude, different characteristics, and accordingly they get their positions. The higher planetary systems are Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, and then beyond that, Mahar, Jana, Tapa, Satya. So these Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka are meant for the sages, rishis, all the way up to Lord Brahma in mode of goodness. But Bhurloka is mode of passion. And up to Swarloka, Swargoloka, somewhat passion. The demigods are somewhat affected by the mode of passion, but principally in the mode of goodness, but they have the influence of mode of passion. But earth planet is the place for the people of the mode of passion. Actually, earth planet is the place where all the different modes are functional. In the earth planet, we find living entities of all kinds of nature. So earth planet is actually the replica of the entire universe in a way. Here we find saintly people, the sages, the demigods, the human beings, the demons. And on top of that, in the human platform, there are different types of people. In the human being, some are influenced in the mode of goodness, predominantly, some are in the mode of passion, some are in the mode of ignorance. And the lower planetary systems are predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Adho gacchanti tamasa. So this is the sthanam, the 14 planetary system. Like all the structures are maintaining a general pattern. The 7 higher planetary systems, 7 lower planetary systems. And then poshanam, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining everything and everybody. He is the one who is maintaining everybody. Sthana poshanam utayaha uti. The propensity to work, mainly to procreate. The material involvement is to become active. In the material nature, every living entity is actively involved. But those activities must be directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, otherwise they will become the cause of our bondage. Then Manvantara. There are 14 manus in a day of Brahma. There's a day of Brahma, just like in a factory we have shifts, different shifts. Similarly, in Brahma's day, there are different shifts to take care of different affairs of the material nature. And the shift changes. The positions remain. In the factory, there is a general manager, there is a foreman, there is a machine man, there is all kinds of people. And one shift goes, another shift comes. Like the same, the second shift comes, the same, all these positions are there. The general manager is there, foreman is there, assistant foreman is there, supervisor is there, and so forth. So one shift goes, another shift comes. So manvantaras are like the change of manus. And along with the manu, the different personalities change also, different positions change. Indra will become, another Indra will come. One Indra will go, another Indra will come. Like for example, in the next manvantara, Bali Maharaj will become Indra. So, not only Bali Maharaj, then somebody will come and take the position of Surya, some will take the position of Varun, some will take the position of Vayu. In this way, different positions will be occupied by different personalities. Even the Manvantara avatar, the appearance of the Lord who actually presides over the Manvantara, he also will change. His incarnation also will change. Manvantara Ishanu Katha. The activities of the Lord in His incarnations, along with His devotees and illustrious kings, glorious personalities, their activities have been recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam in this way. Ishanu Katha. Then Nirodha, the annihilation of the creation. From time to time. There are different types of annihilations. There are smaller annihilation to ultimate annihilation. Like one kind of annihilation is individual annihilation. When you die, that is annihilation, one kind of annihilation. Then there are different types of annihilations going all the way up to when Mahavishnu withdraws his glance, Jai Shri Radha Madhava ki, Jai Shakhi Brinda ki, Jai Panchatattva ki, Jai Prahlad Nrisingha Dev ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai. The ultimate annihilation is when Mahavishnu withdraws his glance from the material nature. Then the entire creation is annihilated. And the other annihilation is sometimes some planets up to even the heavenly planets gets annihilated. Some lesser annihilations are the earth planet will get annihilated with the water of devastation. Sometimes the annihilations takes place by the fire emanating from the mouth of Shankarshan. So, the material nature has creation, maintenance, and annihilation. But beyond that is liberation. The conditioned soul gets an opportunity to get out of the material nature. The arrangement is there. A living entity entangled in the material nature can get out of this material nature. So mukti. But what after mukti? after mukti is ashraya. Liberation is not the final word. Liberation is not the final destination. The consideration is, okay, when one is liberated, then what? The impersonalists think that when you just get out of this material nature, then we will be situated in ananda, brahmananda. That is, yes, that ananda is there, brahmananda is there, but that is not the ultimate ananda. The ananda that is not active is not the ultimate ananda. The ultimate ananda is the joy derived out of activity. There is one kind of ananda, inactive ananda. Like falling asleep is ananda, some kind of ananda. We like to sleep because there is some sort of joy in that. Some pleasure is there in that ananda, in that activity. Being inactive. Material activity, material involvement is a source of suffering. Material nature is a place for suffering. The material body is an instrument for receiving pain. And involvement in the material nature is meant to give us pain. So that is the condition of this material nature. We are searching for joy, but we are ending up suffering. That is the unfortunate state of affairs in this material nature. That is the paradox of this material nature. We want to enjoy. In order to enjoy, we become so active, so involved, but we end up suffering. So when these material activities stop, that is a state of unconsciousness, sleep. Yes, it is better than the worst to not be involved in the material activity. But beyond that, the state of unconsciousness, there is a state of Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. And that consciousness, that involvement, that activity in that spiritual consciousness is a source of joy, source of ananda. So Krishna is anandamay. Krishna is the source of all ananda, all bliss. And being involved with Krishna, being connected to Krishna, by rendering service unto Him, is the source of joy for all of us. And in this way, Krishna has been established as the word Prabhupada used is samambonam. Samambonam. The ultimate summation of all benefit. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ultimate point. The ultimate goal of life. Ultimate purpose of our existence is Krishna. Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He is the Parama Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha Parama Krishna. Satchidananda Vigraha. Our Bhagavatam is establishing him as Ete Changsha Kalapumsha. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdate. In this way, time and time again, Bhagavatam is establishing that Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. And the ultimate goal of life is to develop our relationship with Him. And then Bhagavatam is leading to this Sambandhya, Abhidhya and Prayojana simultaneously. What is our relationship with Krishna? Who is Krishna? Who are we? What is our relationship? How can that relationship be established? And by establishing that relationship, what is the benefit? What do we derive out of that relationship? Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritashvadam. We become submerged in an ocean of joy. We are hankering for a little bit of joy, just a drop of joy, for the sake of just a momentary joy or ananda. People are prepared to even risk their lives. But when we develop our relationship with Krishna, then we become submerged in an ocean of joy. And that ocean of joy continues to expand. That ocean of joy is not limited, it's unlimitedly expanding due to the loving exchange between the devotee and the Lord. So in this way, so systematically Bhagavatam is pointing in a scientific way what is the ultimate goal of life. And although sometimes it may appear to be like a fairy tale, like a story, oh, Daksha was insulted by Lord Shiva, and he held his grudge against Lord Shiva, and when Daksha was made the head of the Prajapatis by Brahma, Daksha wanted to perform a sacrifice called Brihaspati Yajna. And in that, everybody was invited. All the notable personalities of the universe were invited, except Lord Shiva and Shati. And although not invited, Sati wanted to come to her father's house. And in front of Sati, Daksha started to insult Lord Shiva, started to speak ill of Lord Shiva. And a chaste wife, Sati, the word Sati means chastity. She's a personified chastity. That chaste lady, the chaste wife, could not bear to tolerate the insult of her husband. She gave up her body. The news reached Lord Shiva. He became so angry that he immediately he tore open his lock of hair, one tuft of hair, and struck it to the ground. And as a result of that, a demon, Virabhadra, came out. And he, along with the associates of Lord Shiva, went to Daksha's sacrificial arena and devastated the sacrifice. And those who were involved in the sacrifice, they were tormented. And those who, like Bhrigu, Kushan, because Bhrigu laughed when Daksha was insulting Lord Shiva, because it showed his teeth while laughing, they broke his teeth. And then Pusha, he was shaking his beard, so they tore off his beard. And in this way different individuals were harassed and tormented. So then finally Brahma came, pacified Lord Shiva, and the sacrifice again started. Lord Shiva placed a head of goat on Daksha's head, which was severed by Virabhadra, was replaced by a goat's head. And he was brought back to life, and he came back to his senses. Anyway, the sacrifice started. Then finally, Vishnu appeared riding on Garuda in the sacrificial arena. And these different personalities are offering their prayers to Lord Vishnu. And here the Jagga Patnis were offering their prayers to Lord Vishnu, begging him to revive the animals that had been killed by Lord Shiva's associates and Lord Shiva himself, and create a peaceful atmosphere, because the whole atmosphere became so tensed, so gory, so frightening. So they just are requesting, please create that peaceful atmosphere. Sanctity of the sacrificial arena may again be revoked. The Sanskrit word used for that is shantamedham. Shantamedham. The steel sacrificial, Shavashayana shantamedham, the animals had been sacrificed, and animals had been died, and rucha drisha punihi, punihi, you sanctify the atmosphere by your merciful glance, the atmosphere that has been quite ghastly because of this animal bodies strewn around in this area. So please revive those animals. And Prabhupada in the purport pointed out that how the purpose of sacrifice, Vedic sacrifice, is not to kill the animals, but to revive the animals, but rejuvenate the animals. And when that happens, the atmosphere becomes very joyful. Like a dead animal just springs up to into life with a rejuvenated, being totally rejuvenated. So that they are offered in the sacrifice and they come back, or they are elevated to the higher planetary system. So that is the purpose of the sacrifice. So how we can see that how advanced this culture actually is. And this is not just an Indian culture. Vedic culture is Vedic culture. It's not an Indian culture. Whoever follows it, he benefits. It's meant for all civilized human beings. Like, wherever this culture is practiced, they will benefit. People will benefit there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Rupan Maharaj, do you have any comment? Where is the microphone? The cordless mic?
Two-part question. Each Manu brings in a new set of administrators. You mentioned something I've never heard before, that Bali Maharaj becomes the next Indra. So Bali Maharaj already has a post, and he has Vamanadeva as his gatekeeper, and he's situated in pure devotional service.
Yeah.
To become Indra.
It's a demotion.
Demotion or something. And it is the post of Indra is not considered so elevated. I mean, king of heaven, yes, but mixed in devotion, not Shuddha.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, can you...
In this respect, I'll make two points. The two points come to my mind. One is, Bali wanted to become Indra, right? And the Lord is fulfilling that desire, right? Okay, he unlawfully actually took over that position. And that's why the Lord's attitude is, Lord's consideration was, okay, you wanted it, so your desire will be fulfilled. And the other consideration is, even though he has the Lord as his gatekeeper, but still it is in the lower planetary system, Sutala Loka. And the third consideration is, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Bali Maharaj was glorified, he said that no, actually he is there to secure that I cannot come out of that place. He is the gatekeeper, not to protect others from coming to me. That he is doing. But the real purpose is that I cannot get out of here and cause any more problem. Thank you, Maharaj. Any other question? Yes. Atul Krishna Prabhu.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Prabhupada wanted us to study systematically. And so is it appropriate to categorize all of the dialogue and all of the incidents in the Srimad Bhagavatam into the 10 subjects that you mentioned?
It has also been pointed out, and Prabhupada is actually making that point in his purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adilila chapter 2. He is saying that the first nine cantos are dealing with these nine aspects, which is leading to the 10th canto. Ashraya is Krishna, and that is being dealt in the 10th canto. And this preparation or systematic progression is through these first nine cantos. So yes, it has been like in that way. And when we study under the guidance of a bona fide teacher, then we can see that how different cantos are actually establishing these points, like first canto, sarga aspect, second canto, visarga aspect, and so forth. And the ultimate consideration of systematic study is the guidance of a qualified teacher. Like we see, in Bhagavad Gita, when Prabhupada is presenting Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is actually bringing the end of Bhagavad Gita at the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That Sarva Dharman Parityajya is actually Prabhupada's first instruction to approach Bhagavad Gita. We have to surrender unto Krishna in order to understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, we won't be able to understand. So this is how a qualified teacher knows how to present it for the benefit of the student's understanding.
Thank you. Yes. You switched on properly?
Okay.
There you are.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking that one devotee, a senior devotee, was mentioning that this oil revolution, I mean, the fact that we are using oil in the internal combustion engine is kind of an impetus for Lord Chaitanya's movement to spread to every town and village. And subsequent to that, you know, the oil will get depleted, and then, you know, there would not be so much travel, and people would not move from place to place. And, I mean, then by that time, the holy name would have reached every
yeah.
part of the world. And so I was just thinking that, you know, some devotees say that Prabhupada is in his books, and there may be possibilities that certain, you know, good guides may not be available in every part of the world. So if someone is sincere and is studying Srila Prabhupada's books, would Prabhupada manifest the instruction as the bona fide guide through his books? Would that be a possibility, or would another individual be always necessary?
Like, it is already there. Prabhupada already gave the books. And as we become exposed to the books, it enlightens us. I mean, didn't it happen? Like, I remember, like, Prabhupada's books, and just started to read it. It came like a realization. Yes, this is it. This is it. At least it came like that. And of course, then that led us to come to the Association of Devotees, join ISKCON. But this is the unique aspect of Srila Prabhupada's books, that it gives you that realization that this is it, or it comes as a realization, revelation, what Prabhupada is actually giving us. All of a sudden we become enlightened, although as a spark of realization, but still it comes. So that is the power of Prabhupada's books. I mean, I haven't seen anything in any other books like that is the potency of Prabhupada's books. And what you said at first is also, yes, I mean, I don't know why you mentioned that, but yeah. Yeah. No, that point is very relevant. I mean, that's why I'm going back to that, although the relevant, because the age of Kali is the Iron Age. And in Iron Age, what is iron good for? Iron is good only for machines. Right? You don't make ornaments out of iron. Right? Iron is meant for machines. So that's why in the Iron Age, Kali arranged for an industrial development, which started with the Industrial Revolution in the West. And that revolution, that culture is spreading all over the world. And the fuel for that is oil. And the whole structure is based on oil, which is actually the garbage of the earth. And as you said, like, it will at some point, it will, you know, the oil supply will be cut off. And as a result of that, their whole culture will collapse. And then they will wake up to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That's why it is so important that Prabhupada's books are distributed all over, because a time will come when people will start search for looking Prabhupada's books. Search for Prabhupada's books. Where can I get Prabhupada's books? Where can I get Prabhupada's books? Because the real knowledge is there. The real secret of getting out of this crisis is in Prabhupada's books. And this is how Krishna consciousness is. Thank you. Sometimes it's very difficult to execute devotional service with keeping all surrounded devotees happy. How can we progress without even a tinge of offense? Well, it's very difficult to execute devotional service with keeping all surrounded devotees happy. Well, you just try to make Srila Prabhupada happy, your spiritual master happy, the senior devotees happy. It may not be possible to make everyone happy, but at least try to make the principal devotees happy, those who are very relevant for your own spiritual service. And if you cannot make everyone happy, at least don't make them unhappy. So, and tinge of offense, like at the initial stage, there may be some offense, but as you progress, the offenses will reduce, and then eventually you'll become completely free from offense. That's why there are three stages: offensive stage, clearing stage, and pure stage. So if you realize that it's not good to commit offense, at least try your best not to commit offense. So that will reduce your offense. And in this way you'll become completely free from offenses. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.